Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom.
Mankind has a problem. Well, to be honest, mankind has more than one problem. But there is one specific problem that prevents mankind from having a relationship with the Creator and Elohim of Israel. This problem stands between man and Elohim, and it must be broken down and put to death and put away for good. Too many people never address this issue that exists in their lives, and it remains before them. It is a wall that is still separating them from having the relationship with Yahweh that they should have. That is why it is so important for people to learn what Teshuvah is, to repent. It means much more than just some kind of emotional response and feeling sorry. People must learn what Teshuvah means, to turn away from the way you have been going and to go an entirely different way, the way that our Abba requires us to go. And people have to learn what they must do if they want to be reconciled to Yahweh. It is a problem that has been from the beginning, and it still remains. It is passed down from generation to generation, and it continues to infect and spread throughout mankind. A disease, a scourge, a death sentence. And those infected think that they are just fine. Of course they do, because they are ignoring their own symptoms. They refuse to admit that there is a problem and that they need help. That is the way it always is with man. Mankind refuses to see what is so blatantly obvious, because that would mean that they would then have to admit that they are imperfect. It would mean wounding their pride. And worst of all, having to admit that they are wrong. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 17. First Samuel 15 and verse 17. And Shmuel, Samuel said, though you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not Yahweh anoint you sovereign over Israel? And Yahweh sent you on the way and said, go, and you shall put under the ban the sinners, the Amaleki, and fight against them until they are consumed. And why did you not obey the voice of Yahweh, but swooped down on the spoil, and did evil in the eyes of Yahweh? And Shaul said to Shmuel, I did obey the voice of Yahweh, and I went on the way on which Yahweh sent me, and brought back Agag, sovereign of Amalek, and I put Amalek under the ban. But the people took of the spoil, of the sheep and cattle, the best of that which should have been put under the ban, to slaughter to Yahweh your Elohim in Gilgal. Then Shmuel said, does Yahweh delight in burnt offerings and slaughterings as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Look, to obey is better than an offering. To heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and stubbornness is as wickedness and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he also does reject you as sovereign. What crushing words for Shaul. What condemnation. What did Shaul do here? He disobeyed and followed his own way. Mankind's problem is rebellion. And man has rebelled against Elohim and continues to rebel against him and all that he stands for. Mankind believes that they need no one to tell them how to live. And mankind believes that they know it all. You know, the truth is, man is puffed up with himself. And he is full of his own knowledge, which is corrupt and flawed. You know, mankind creates their own reality. They see things the way they want to see them. They rewrite history to define and justify the things they do. Mankind refuses to submit to anyone or to anything. Instead, mankind chooses to walk in the blindness of their own pride and stubbornly refuse to see what is right in front of them, and deny the truth of it. Rebellion infects the religious world as well. You know, there are many people who attend their religious meetings every week, pretending to be something that they are not. And then they go out and live their lives according to their own rules and doing whatever pleases them. People build their own belief systems and their own worship systems. And they modify them and tweak them to be what they want them to be. They choose their own religion and their own system of belief. And many times it's an amalgamation, it's a mixture of different beliefs that they put together and create their own system out of it. You know, there are also those who consider themselves Torah observant who are in rebellion. People have come out of traditional religious organizations to seek their Hebraic roots, and rightfully so, but they have allowed their indignation and anger to turn to bitterness and to a rebellious attitude. Rebellion is alive and well, and it finds a willing host in mankind. Rebellion seduces those in whom it dwells, and it causes them to believe that what they are doing is right. It causes them to think that they are justified in their actions. And it tricks them into thinking that they are right and that everyone else is wrong. People who are caught up in the spirit of rebellion are very much convinced that what they are doing is the right thing. That's why they're so adamant and so passionate about what they are doing. There are many people walking in rebellion who claim to be believers. Being rebellious is not compatible with living Yah's way. He requires us to be obedient and to walk humbly before Him, not pridefully and arrogantly and stubbornly and rebelliously. Didn't the children of Israel, didn't they rebel before Him over and over again? And Moshe had to constantly intercede for them because of their rebellious attitudes. You know, there are many who just don't understand what it means to walk humbly before Yah. You know, we are coming before the Creator and Sustainer of all things, the one who put everything into place that we know and understand. And we better learn what it means to have respect for Him. Proverbs 6, verse 16. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six matters Yahweh hates. That word is not used very often in Scripture. So when you see it, you should pay attention to it. These six matters Yahweh hates, and seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands shedding innocent blood. A heart devising wicked schemes, feet quick to run to evil, a false witness breathing out lies, and one who causes strife among brothers. All of these things have something in common. They are all found in acts of rebellion and in those who are rebellious. Let's continue on in verse 20 of Proverbs 6. My son, watch over your father's command, and do not forsake the Torah of your mother. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you are walking about, it leads you. When you lie down, it guards you. And when you have woken up, it talks to you. Our words and our actions reflect our true attitude and who we really are. Our fruit tells the truth, and it cannot be hidden. Everyone can see the fruit that we bear. Mankind is not only rebellious, but also defiant prideful and determined to go their own way. Our history proves it. The seeds of rebellion bear rotten fruit. And those who are defiant in their words and their actions bear rebellion inside themselves. How many times have you heard these words? I don't need any man to teach me. I will never follow any man. I don't listen to men. Is there order and structure in what Yahweh does or not? Is the body made up of all the same parts, or are there different pieces that come together in an ordered way and function in harmony with one another? Does Yahweh call people? Does He call them to come out of the world and set themselves apart? And does He call them to do certain things as it pleases Him? Did He call prophets to go to the people? And were they well received? Were they liked? Was their message popular? Or were they hated and despised? Well, Yahweh's word bears out the truth, doesn't it? And provides the answers to those questions. Their warning was refused, rejected, and ignored. I wonder if the people that they went to said among themselves, I don't need any man to teach me. And I wonder if they said, I will never follow any man. Those who rejected them and refused to hear their message received the punishment that they had been warned was coming. What if they had just listened? What if they had just entertained the thought that maybe this man is right? Maybe Yah sent this man to warn us. But no, they were in rebellion. They knew everything, didn't they? They didn't need anyone to bring a word to them. And they were walking in their own way and refused to see their own errors. They were defiant and they were blinded. Who was it that set Moshe in place over Israel? He was called and appointed for a purpose. And Korah incited and led a rebellion against Moshe. He wanted to be in charge. He did not want to listen to anyone else. He was convinced that he was right and that Moshe had no authority over Israel. Korah and those with him spoke out against Moshe in Ahron in front of the whole assembly. They were blinded, and they felt justified in their rebellion. Let's look at Numbers 16 and verse 1. Numbers 16 and verse 1. And Korach, son of Yitzhar, son of Kehat, son of Levi, took both Datan and Aviram, the sons of Eliav, and On, son of Pelet, sons of Reuven, and they rose up before Moshe with some of the children of Israel. 250 leaders of the congregation, called ones of the meeting, men of name, men who should have known better. And they assembled against Moshe and against Aharon and said to them, "Enough of you, for all the congregation is set apart, all of them, and Yahweh is in their midst. Why then do you lift up yourselves above the assembly of Yahweh?" They were defiant, and they refused to see that Moshe had been set over them for a reason, and that he was chosen by Yahweh to lead them. They considered that all of them were equal in Yahweh's sight, that they were all set apart and had no need of anyone to be over them. They needed no one to teach them and to lead them. After all that they had witnessed and all of the things that had been done by Yahweh to free them, they still rebelled before him. They blamed Moshe and Aharon because they were visibly there before them. But they were really rebelling against Yahweh. Moshe and Aharon were servants. And Moshe brought the word of Yahweh to the people. All rebellion is born of disobedience and pride and a refusal to submit because there is no humility. Abba does not look favorably or kindly on rebellion. He gave Korah and his followers their chance. Yahweh wanted all of Israel to see and to know whom he had chosen and put in place. And he wanted them to see that he was just and righteous in his judgments and decisions. Number 16 and verse 28. Number 16 and verse 28. And Moshe said, "By this you know that Yahweh has sent me to do all these works, that they are not from my own heart. If these die as all men do, or if they are visited as all men are visited, then Yahweh has not sent me. But if Yahweh creates what is unheard of, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the grave, then you shall know that these men have scorned Yahweh." And it came to be as he ended speaking all these words that the ground under them split apart and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and with all the men of Korach with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the grave, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. Sooner or later, all rebels perish from the midst of the assembly, whether by their own hand or whether by some act of Yah. The children of Israel rebelled against Yahweh over and over. Rebellions always require one thing to get started. They need a leader. Someone who is disgruntled or who becomes offended, and one who is prideful and has anger and who seeks to disrupt. Rebellion is an intentional act and a willful choice. Rebellion does not come about by accident. A rebel is never content to be alone. They want and need followers. It fuels them and makes them more courageous and bold. They convince others to join them, and they instill their seed of discontent in all of them. And many times their followers become even more passionate and inflamed than they are, because the leader is able to inspire and incite them. Rebellion is exciting to people, and they get caught up in the cause, whatever it may be. Rebellion is an act of disobedience and unrest. And those caught up in rebellion seek to break the authority over them and take control for themselves. When the people came against Moshe and Aharon at Kadesh, because they had no water, they were caught up in rebellion. After all that Yah had done for them, why did they grumble, complain, and come against those men whom Yah had placed over them? Someone incited them and caused disruption among them. They did not just come questioning. They assembled before them. They had intent and a crowd mentality. The people contended with Moshe and Aharon. They brought an argument. It was rebellion. Numbers 20 and verse 2. Numbers 20 and verse 2. Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled against Moshe and against Aharon. And the people contended with Moshe and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brothers died before Yahweh." They were dissatisfied and they were upset. They were angry. Someone bred dissension among them and rebellion ignited. Moshe called the people rebels. They were rebels involved in a rebellion. And the people were coming against Moshe and Aharon, but were they really rebelling against just them? Verse 9 of Numbers 20. Numbers 20, verse 9. And Moshe took the rod from before Yahweh as he commanded him. And Moshe and Aharon assembled the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels. Shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" They were rebelling against Yahweh. And rebellion is one of the things that Yahweh says that he hates. Rebellion is in direct opposition to the humble, obedient people that Yahweh wants us to be. Woe to those who rebel and lead others into rebellion. Woe to them. Yeshua chose disciples from among men to teach, and then he sent them out to teach others. They were called and chosen for a purpose and for a reason. They lived with Yeshua and followed him everywhere. They heard his teachings and witnessed the things that he did. He was preparing them for what was in front of them and for the work that they would do. When Yeshua died, the men that he discipled and taught took the message out to the people wherever they traveled. And there were those who believed what they said, and they raised up assemblies and added to the body. What if people had not listened? What if people had not believed? How would the good news have been spread? There were those rebellious ones who did not listen. And there were those who sought to kill them and to plot against them. They rebelled against Yeshua and rejected him, and they were still in rebellion and against those whom he had sent out. Mankind has a history of rebellion against Yahweh and against his word and against his way of life. Men want to do what they want to do, even when it comes to their beliefs. They want to have control. Rebellion is always against some form of authority, and it comes from a refusal to submit. Israel wanted a physical king over them, like all the nations around them, because they refused Yahweh's rule over them. But he gave them what they wanted and warned them of the consequences. First Samuel 8 and verse 7. First Samuel 8 and verse 7. And Yahweh said to Shmuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from reigning over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other mighty ones, so they are doing to you too. And now listen to their voice. But you shall certainly warn them and shall make known to them the ruling of the sovereign who does reign over them." And Shmuel spoke all the words of Yahweh to the people who asked him for a sovereign and said, "This is the ruling of the sovereign who does reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen. And they shall run before his chariots and appoint commanders over his thousands and commanders over his fifties, or to plow his ground and reap his harvest, or to make his weapons and equipment for his chariots. And your daughters he is going to take to be perfumers and cooks and bakers, and the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive trees he is going to take and give them to his servants and a tenth of your grain and your vintage he is going to take and give it to his officers and servants. And your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and your donkeys he is going to take and use for his own work. A tenth of your sheep he is going to take, and you are to be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your sovereign whom you have chosen for yourselves. But Yahweh is not going to answer you in that day. Over and over, mankind has rebelled and continues to rebel. Man refuses to humble himself or to submit himself to authority. Man rejects Yahweh's rule over him. Man is defiant and stubborn and prideful. Mankind rejects what Yahweh sends to him. Are there still prophets today? Are there still those who are called by Yahweh and sent out to bring a message to those who will heed and listen? Joel 2, verse 28. Joel 2, verse 28. And after this it shall be that I pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men dream dreams, your young men see visions. Are we to determine and decide for ourselves how and when Yahweh sends a message to us? Maybe that's why so many people don't hear his voice or hear the message that he's trying to give to them. Do you reject something outright because of the form and type of the messenger? I walked in defiance for a time, and I am very grateful that Abba led me to see my error and my attitude, and to repent of that. We have to be very careful because anger, resentment, and bitterness manifest in the form of rebellion. And once rebellion takes root in you, it is very hard to remove it and kill it so that it does not come back. Yahweh has always sent warnings before judgment is poured out. Do you think that he has stopped sending those to warn and to speak his word to those who will listen? What if a Moshe showed up today? Would you be one of those ridiculing, one of those pointing fingers and scoffing and mocking because you listened to no man? We know there are two men coming before the end of the age. Two men who will stand up and be witnesses. What about Yeshua? Most people would say that they would never have rejected him and that they would have known it was Mashiach because of what he did and how he spoke. Really? Just put yourself in that place and in that time and think about what you would have done if a man showed up suddenly and claimed to be the son of Yahweh and spoke about the word in a way you had never heard it before, a way you had never even considered it before. What side would you have been on? Amos 3, verse 7. Amos 3, verse 7. For the Master Yahweh does no matter unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who is not afraid? The Master Yahweh has spoken. Who would not prophesy? Rebellion is a very dangerous thing and a deadly place to be. It is deceptively dangerous. What is it that causes lawlessness and going outside the bounds of Torah? It is rebellion. I have known people who were just rebellious over everyone and over everything. Anything that stood in the way of what they wanted to do was an enemy. And that attitude is more and more prevalent in the world today, and it can infect you if you are not careful. You know, the people of Yahweh are to be set apart. And they are to separate themselves from the world and its ways. Just because you call yourself a believer and claim the Elohim of Israel, that does not mean you are free of rebellion. You must ask Yahweh to allow you to see yourself as you really are, and to see any flaws and any lawlessness that may be hiding within you. The easiest person to deceive is ourselves, because we always want to believe that we are right, and we always overlook our own imperfections. But rebellion is the great deceiver, and it will prevent you from seeing the real you. You cannot be reconciled to Yahweh when you are walking in rebellion, because you are not surrendered. You can have the outward appearance of belonging to Yahweh, but still harbor rebellion within your heart. Rebellion is not compatible with walking in the way of Yahweh, and He knows us. He knows us very, very well. And if we cannot be honest with ourselves, how can we be honest with others? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu 17, verse 9. The heart is crooked above all and desperately sick. Who shall know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the kidneys and give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. We can't hide from Him. We can deceive ourselves. We can talk ourselves into believing something, and we can think that we're deceiving others and that they don't see through us. But Yahweh sees all. Others can see and recognize rebellion within you, but you will never hear or admit to it until you humble yourself and submit yourself to Yahweh. Rebellion is not a fruit of His Spirit. And those who rebel will not inherit the kingdom of Elohim, because rebellion will not be tolerated there. How did Hasatan lose his place? How did he become the adversary? Didn't he incite a rebellion in the very dwelling place of Elohim? And didn't he convince others to join him in his rebellion? Those who harbor rebellion will never submit. And Yeshua will return in power and authority to put down the rebellion of man. And mankind will defiantly battle against him in a last desperate and futile attempt to go their own way and retain control of this world. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19 and verse 11. And I saw the heaven opened, and there was a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Trustworthy and True. And in righteousness he judges and fights. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, having a name that had been written which no one had perceived except himself. And having been dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. And the armies in the heaven, dressed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of El Shaddai. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, Sovereign of Sovereigns and Master of Masters. There will be no withstanding his power and authority, no defiance, no rebellion, and no refusal to submit. He will rule absolutely. We need to examine and look at ourselves deeply and honestly, and always be on guard against a root of rebellion settling into us. And don't deceive yourself. If you are rebellious and defiant now, how will you ever submit to Him when He returns? We need to understand that we are going to enter into a kingdom, and that kingdom has a sovereign, a king. And we will submit to the king. Do not let rebellion keep you from hearing Yahweh and those He sends. Do not let rebellion keep you from entering the kingdom of Elohim. Use the wisdom and discernment that He has given you. Humble yourself and submit yourself to Him. And let the seed of rebellion never be found within you. Amen.
Yivarechecha Yahweh. Vayishmarecha. Ya'er Yahweh panavileka vihuneka. Yisa Yahweh panavileka vishem laha shalom. Yahweh bless you and protect you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn back his face towards you and give you shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into His truth. Shavua Tov!